All right. Well, I asked him to sing that again, and I just now even realized there's two points to this message that's in that song. And the last point of the message is use my life and my experience to help somebody else. And the other one is when we think about what we've done that placed Christ on the cross, it helps us to forgive. So that was a good song, and I was glad to hear it this morning, and it really fit. And again, you know, these things aren't planned this way to work out. It's just that God ends up putting sermons and songs and Sunday school classes all together the way he does, and it's a blessing. So Ephesians chapter number 4, very quickly, Ephesians 4. We're still talking about this area of spiritual warfare, and we're talking about the open doors we've got. And I read all around it this morning, didn't read the actual verse I wanted to give you this morning, but I'm just really going to try to pick up where I left off this morning. But Ephesians 4 and verse number 26, be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. The next verse, it's just perfectly right in here in this section, is neither give place to the devil. So when you're not dealing with your anger correctly and you're not dealing with offenses correctly, it opens a door and gives a place. It opens a gap for the devil to get in and start causing problems. It's an open door to the devil. That's why I thought it was so interesting that in the first open door, which is chapter 4, 1 through 16, with the unity and the word, you said you have those that are lying wait to try to deceive. Deception is one of Satan's greatest tools, is deception. But the other one that I think is right there with it is this whole thing of unforgiveness or anger that he uses in us. And that's the second thing you see in Ephesians. And then it not only is it anger, but if you look at how it kind of goes there, you get down to verse 30. Think about this. Think about what's in this chapter. You're giving place to the devil and grieving the Spirit of God. The greatest way you'd be able to fight the devil would be with the Spirit of God. But here you're grieving the Spirit of God and giving place to the devil. You're stopping God's power and giving Satan power in anger and unforgiveness. Because it goes on in verse number 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I want to talk to you about the first part of this was anger, that Satan gets in through anger. The second part is how he gets in through unforgiveness, which is really when you don't deal with anger correctly, it becomes unforgiveness. So that's kind of where we're at. I want you to look in Luke chapter number 17 with me very quickly. Luke chapter 17, we'll turn to about three places in the Bible tonight and look at about three different looks at this. But in Luke chapter number 17, if you go there with me really quickly, And when you get there, look at verse number 1, Luke chapter 17 and verse 1. Then said he unto his disciples, it is impossible that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. First thing I want you to understand about forgiveness to this evening is this. It is impossible to go through this life and not be offended or hurt in some way. There's no way you're going to be able to get through this entire life without going through something. We were thinking this morning, we were talking about in Sunday school class, somebody told me they're doing forgiveness. I thought, well, that's exactly what I'm doing tonight. I thought they'd already done it last week. And so I went back and listened to it. And it really, we were talking about forgiveness. But sometimes when we talk about forgiveness, we think about, well, that person said this to me and it hurt my feelings, or that person cut me off. It's stuff that's at this level. But many of you know each other well enough to know there are people in here carrying loads that are at a way different level than all of that. I mean, mentioned this morning in Sunday school was abuse of a child, and another one was abuse of a person, a lady that was abused. And so those things go way past, well, you stepped on my toe, or you didn't say hello to me this evening and I'm mad at you. It's way different levels than that. And so forgiveness is something we have to do in this Christian life, because somebody would say, well, why would things like that happen? Because we live in a fallen world. We live in a fallen world that is an evil world. So you think God created an evil world? No, God created it and said it is good. But sin came in, and because of sin, death and sin began to destroy this whole world. And Romans chapter 8 is talking about it's going to be that way. All of creation is groaning in travail, just waiting for the day that God sets everything back to the way it's supposed to be. But until then, we are going to have problems in this world. You're never going to be able to make it through the journey without going through some type of offense or some type of problem. So the first thing we see there is we're going to have offenses. What I think is also interesting, it says, but woe unto him through whom they come. The last point of this first part is this: God will take care of it. God takes care of people that offend and hurt other people, especially when you think about his little ones. He says it's better than a millstone or tied around the neck to throw into the ocean than they offend one of his little ones. So God's going to take care of all the issues, whether we see it in this life or not. God will take care of it. But the issue is we're going to have problems in this life. Well, actually, verse 2 is one where it says it's better than a millstone hanging about his neck. In verse number 3, it says this: take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, do what? Forgive him. And if he trespass against thee, watch this, 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. So the first thing you're going to get in verse 1 is, we're in a fallen world, offenses are going to come. The second thing that we're going to start trying to understand here is this: when you have offended someone, you have offended somebody, what do you have to do? What are you supposed to do? You're supposed to go to that person, repent, and get it right with that person. Say, well, I don't have to. Now, the Bible says that if you do something wrong to somebody, what you need to do, what you're supposed to do, what you have to do is go to them and make that thing right. What are we saying? You're acknowledging that you have done something wrong. And it's more than just walking up and going, well, I'm sorry. If that'll fix it, I'm sorry. It's more than just saying words. It's truly having a heart of, I am sorry for what I have done to you. And then if you can, make it right. Get the thing taken care of. Remember Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus said, listen, if I've taken from somebody, I restore to them. So make it right. Make it right if you can. And then we see that in salvation. Even when you think about it, in salvation, so the idea is we have offended God. Watch this now. When it comes to salvation, asking for forgiveness, we have offended God. If you want forgiveness for your sins, what do you have to do? Acknowledge your sinfulness, come and confess it to God, and ask for forgiveness and receive salvation. Even after salvation, once we're saved and we still have issues, what does the Bible say in 1 John 1:9? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We still need to come and confess it. That's the plan. If you offend somebody or you hurt somebody, you have to go to them and get that thing right. Now you say, what if I did something and they don't have any clue about it? Well, maybe you just get it right with God. Maybe if you had something in your heart, you might not have to go to them and say, I had a bad thought about you last week in my own private time. But if you do something that hurts somebody, you know what you need to do? Go to them and get that thing right. You need to go confess it and make it right with that person. That is the way it goes when you have offended someone. The third thing I want you to see, when you have been offended by someone, so if you offended someone, repent and get it right. If you have been offended by someone, what does it say you do? It says you rebuke them. You go to them and tell them that they have offended you in some way. Matthew 18, we won't go there. Matthew 18 lists this out very, very well. So you go to them. You say you go to them with your fists clenched, ready to fight. No, you go to them in the right spirit, because what's the right spirit? You're looking to try to restore the relationship. Not try to fight, you're looking to try to restore it. So you go to them, you have the right spirit, you go, watch this, you go alone. So if somebody offends you, so what should you do? Call 5 friends and tell them what they've done. No, what you do is you go to them alone and you try to get that thing resolved. You're looking to restore, not unload on them. And then if they repent, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to do what? Forgive them. They repent, you're supposed to forgive them. So what we see here in this little section of Scripture is, if you have offended, repent. If you have been offended, rebuke, or go to them and make it and let them know what has happened in this situation. And then the fourth thing you see, it's not in the scriptures right there, but the fourth thing I want you to see is this: what about when they don't repent? Now, here's the good question. If somebody's going to ask this, somebody asked it this morning, what about when they don't repent? What about when they aren't trying to make it right with you? What do you do then? Somebody's phone's going off. It's not a good song. What if they don't repent? What do you do? Here it is. You should still have a spirit of forgiveness. You need to continue to have a spirit of forgiveness. You say, where do you get that from? Okay, think about what Christ said on the cross. He said, as the Bible says in Luke 23:34, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You say, well, he just forgave them without them repenting? No, no, no. You don't get salvation applied to you until you first come and confess that. But the spirit that God had and Jesus had on the cross was, he's already got this spirit that I want to forgive them before they even come to ask me for forgiveness. I have a, my spirit is, I want to forgive. For most part, when we've been wronged, the spirit of most people is not, I'm looking to forgive. It's, I hope they get everything coming to them. That's our spirit most of the time. But what we're talking about is having the right kind of spirit. Number one, if you have offended, repent. If you've been offended, rebuke. Do something. Go talk to them. But if they have offended you and they will not repent, watch this. Forgive anyway. Forgive anyway. You say, why would you do that? Let me say this, not for their sake, but for your sake. You need to forgive anyway for your sake. You know what you end up becoming? I'm going to tell you this. Listen, what you end up becoming whenever you won't forgive is you become a perpetual victim. So they hurt you back when you, let's say there's a lady in here and somebody did something in the back, they're 12 years old and they've never gotten past that. They relive it all the time. Every time they see a male, every time they get alone with somebody in a room, they relive it all the time. I guarantee you, for the most part, the person that did the offending or hurt you all those years ago doesn't even think about it ever again. But you think about it every day and you're dwelling on it all the time and bitterness is setting in and now you can't trust anybody anymore. What I'm saying to you is get the spirit of forgiveness, not for their sake, but for yours, so that you can just move on with life and not be held a perpetual victim. That's the spirit that you need to have. Because I'm telling you, what happens is the devil gets in through that avenue of unforgiveness. Look at verse 5 of Luke chapter 17. It's very interesting. I said this morning when they were in class. Verse 5, you need to get this one. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. You know, sometimes we look at this, this is what's so good. And I've preached this before, but sometimes we look at that and say, well, he's starting a new thought in Scripture. No, it's connected. It's connected. So here's them saying, you got to forgive. You need to forgive. Even if seven times in a day, you say, that's hard to do. So if somebody hurts you one time and you say, hey, that was pretty painful, but they repented and I said, okay, you're forgiven. And then they turn around and about an hour later, they do it again. And they say, I repent. And you say, okay, look, don't do it again, but I forgive you. And by the seventh time, you're thinking, you don't really mean it when you say I repent. But that's I'm talking about a hard thing to do this. And so the disciples, the apostles, turn to Jesus and say, can you increase our faith? Because this is a hard thing to do. And so when you look at verse 6, and the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain as a mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. And I preached the message here before on the sycamine tree, on the picture of the sycamine tree. The sycamine tree is a huge tree with great big deep roots that go way down the ground, and it has a bitter tasting fruit to it. So it's a big tree, big roots that go in the ground. So think about this. It's a big problem. You have a big issue. What does it take to overcome a big issue? He says faith is a grain of mustard seed, something very small, so it takes a little bit of faith to deal with a great big problem. Increase our faith. Why? Because some of the problems you're going to face are huge, and you know what you're going to have to do to get through the big problems? You're going to have faith that God will take care of it for you. You have to, that's the only way, I'm just telling you, some of you are carrying huge loads, and I'm telling you, the only way, that person may never come to you and repent. The person that's hurt you so deeply, and a lot of you have these issues, they may never, ever come to you and say, I should never have done that to you. Hopefully they'll get to that point someday, but they may never get to that point. What you've got to do in your own heart is say, it doesn't matter if they ever come to me or not, I'm going to have faith that God knows what he's doing, God will take care of it, and I'm going to move on with my life. I can say, watch now, I can say to that great big problem of whatever that person has done to me in my life, I'll be able to say, uproot, big problem, and be cast into the depths of the sea. I'm not going to deal with it anymore with just a little bit of faith in God. Faith in what? Verse 1, he says in verse number 2, God will take care of it for you. You say, but you don't realize what these people have done to me. I know. I hear some of the stuff when I counsel with you, some of the stuff that people have done to you. And I'm thinking, how could one human being be so terrible to another human being? And how do you get through that? I don't know how you would get through that. But I can tell you the Word of God gives you the recipe for it. And it's going to have to be by faith to get through it. And you can make it through the situation. So Luke chapter 17 gives us a little bit of it. But let me say this. So the first part I want you to get of this is the forgiveness problem. This is a big problem. That's the forgiveness problem. I gave you those five things. That's the forgiveness problem. Now I want you to see the unforgiveness progression, how unforgiveness begins to take over in our life. The unforgiveness progression. In Ephesians 4:26, now I just gave you that verse. It says, neither give place to the devil. When you don't put your anger in check, and forgiveness and all those things, you're opening a door to the devil. I want you to also look at me at 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2 with me very quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Unforgiveness. What is unforgiveness doing? How is Satan using unforgiveness? 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And look at verse 4. Now, you know the story, 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 4. This is the second half of the story that took place in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, where this sounds crazy to some of you that don't know, that never been around this chapter. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, there's a man that has an immoral relationship with his father's wife. That's crazy. Paul says things are happening there that aren't even named amongst the Gentiles. He said, this is a terrible thing that's going on. And so the guy would not get it right, would not deal with it. They said, you're going to have to leave and not come back. The guy did come back. Now watch, the guy did come back. The guy got it right. The guy repented. And now the guy wants back into the group. And so Paul's going to address that. 2 Corinthians chapter number 2, and look at verse number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 4. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote unto you with many tears, not that you should be grieved, but that you might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you. That's that first letter he wrote. But if any have caused grief, he hath not grieved me, but in part, that I may not overcharge you all. So watch now, sufficient to such a man is this punishment. So it's sufficient, is this punishment, which was inflicted of many. So that contrarywise, ye ought rather to, watch, forgive him. Watch what you do. You forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Wherefore I beseech you that you would confirm your love toward him. For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether you be obedient in all things. To whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgive it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ. Watch what it says. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. You know what, this, you know what Satan does? Satan uses unforgiveness to work his way into people's lives and even into a church or a home. He uses unforgiveness. That's one of his tools. Anger and unforgiveness is one of his tools that open up for him to get into people's lives. What did it say would happen in this one? In verse number 6 through 8, watch what it says. To sufficient to such a man as this punishment, which was inflicted of many, so that contrariwise you ought rather forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. All right, now think about this one for a minute. Watch. This is how Satan works. Here's a man that has done something wrong. The man has come back and apologized. The man's tried to get it right. The man's repented. He's come back in. What are you supposed to do with that person? What did it say? You're supposed to forgive him. You're supposed to comfort him. And you're supposed to confirm your love towards him. That's what you're supposed to do with a person that has offended you. When you hold it over their head, watch now, I want you to get this. Some of you married couples, when your spouse has offended you and you won't comfort, confirm your love to them and forgive them, and you hold it over their heads, people that are trying to get right, what you do is you can you can compound sorrow onto them to such a degree that they end up in despair and Satan starts doing something in their life. We have to forgive people when people ask for forgiveness, because if we don't, Satan finds a way to work into that situation in your heart and in their heart when you don't forgive. Somebody says, well, I'm not going to forgive. Well, I'm telling you, you're opening a door and playing right in the hand of the devil. And so he works that way. But let me say what else happens. I want you to get another one. So it opens the door for the devil. It brings discouragement and despair. Just gave you that verse. But then I want you to see another one. We distance ourselves from others. When we start getting offended and we unforgiveness, watch, we start distancing ourselves from each other and from the church. Let me give you a great example of this. This is where divorce comes from. Divorce a lot of times comes from unforgiveness. Because somebody said something, did something in the past, whatever, and we will not forgive. And because we will not forgive, divorce happens. You say, how do you prove that? In Matthew chapter 19, they asked Jesus about divorce, and they said, Moses allowed us to have a bill of divorcement. And he said, because of the hardness of your hearts, did God let you? So, did Moses let you do it? So here's the deal. Because your hearts are so hard against your spouse, you're seeing divorce. I'm telling you, watch now, unforgiveness is the way that Satan gets in and destroys the family. You say, well, how am I going to forgive? You're going to have to go through this process of what I'm talking about in order to have forgiveness in your heart so that you can have forgiveness in your home. Let me tell you another one. We distance ourselves, divorce, distrust. I wrote this down yesterday, that what I've seen in people that are struggling with unforgiveness in their life is they have distrust for everybody around them. They always think, they're always suspicious that somebody's up to something in their life. I thought that was the case. I thought to myself, that's what I've seen. Lord, I feel like I've seen that. I don't know that I've got a verse for it, but I feel like I've seen that over and over again. And then this morning, when Sister Ashley, I don't know, is she here? Is she back in the nursery? Oh, Colton's sick. So she gave a testimony this morning for the young adults class this morning, college and career class this morning. And in that, she talked about kind of the progression of being assaulted at some point and what she went through because people weren't believing her and all the things that she was having to deal with. She said, and I marked it on my paper whenever she said it, I began to get to the place where I didn't trust people anymore. And when she said that, I said, that's exactly what I thought I've been seeing in people that have been hurt and they won't forgive, is they start having a problem trusting people ever again. Don't trust anybody. So you may hear somebody say this, I hate church and I hate all Christians. You say, well, where did they get to that? How did they get to that point? How did they get to the point they just hate church and they hate all Christians? And if you really get down to it, you say, somebody in church hurt me one time. And so now, not only are they just upset that one person hurt them, they say, I don't trust any Christian. I don't trust church. I don't trust God. Why? Because one person hurt them one time, and they've got this thing of unforgiveness, and they won't forgive that one person. And now in their mind, I'm telling you, this is the way this starts to work. The devil starts saying, it's not just that one person. All Christians are like that. God's like that. Everybody everybody in the church house, don't go to the church, because everybody down there is exactly the same way as that one person that hurt you all those years ago. Don't ever get around them. That's what the devil's going to try to do in your life. In this situation, distrust. Here's one. Here's somebody that says, I just don't trust men. I don't trust men at all. Now, I'm going to tell you, some of you ladies right then when I said that, you thought, yeah, I feel that way. And how did you get to the place that I don't trust men at all? It's because some man in your life did something to you that hurt you, and now you're saying, I just don't. You've never gotten to the place, watch, you've never gotten to the place where you've actually forgiven. And because of that, now you don't trust men at all. Now, here's what's the problem. Watch now. A man hurt you. You no longer trust men. And so you stay that way your entire life. You know what you might rob yourself of? A very good man that God might send to you. But you never give yourself in that relationship to them because you don't trust men at all anymore. A person hurt you in church, you don't trust. It could be a great church that would be a real help to you, but you never will go to church anymore because one person in a church, one time in your life, hurt you. And so we end up in this thing of distrust. How about this one? I hate marriage. Everybody say that before? I've met people that said, I never want to get married. Why? Because I watched what my family was like. Or somebody says, I hate marriage. Why? Because my wife cheated on me one time. And so now I think all marriages are doomed. See, you get that kind of spirit because you end up like that. Think about this. Watch. You might remember the story of Michal in the Bible. Some people call her Michal. But that was Saul's daughter. Remember? And remember, Saul gave his daughter to David just to trip David up. She had a bad dad. Just to trip David up. And then once David had to go and run and escape, and remember she had to hide a little doll type thing in the bed to try to get David loose, and then her dad was mad at her, and then her dad, when David escaped, gave her in marriage to another man, and then David finally comes back. When he does, he says, you got to bring her back to me. So now she's been given to one guy just as a token. She's taken from that guy, given to another guy just to make this one mad. Then this one comes back and brings her back. You know what? She has every right to get to the point that she thinks all men are scum. I mean, think about it. No one would fault her in thinking, man, men are just, they're a mess. But you know what? Listen now. But because that happened to her, and she never could get over it, she never trusted David. David wouldn't do anything wrong, and she didn't have any trust for David. She didn't have any trust for men. Listen, she ended up old by herself with nobody because of what happened. Listen now. So you're saying, well, what should have happened is Saul should have came and apologized to her. He never did. What should have happened is David should have came and apologized. Never did. What I'm saying to you is, the person that hurts you may not ever come to you and apologize. And if you just keep that spirit of unforgiveness and let it continue to build in your life, now you don't trust anybody. You end up by yourself with nobody. I can't go to church because church is full of hypocrites. I can't have a relationship because somebody hurt me one time. I can't trust God because God didn't give me what I want. But you end up in life as all by yourself, and it all comes back to you. I just can't forgive anybody. So this is what happens. That's why I'm telling you the devil uses it. And I'm telling you, we have to get to the place we start forgiving people. We get to the place we distrust. I thought about using this verse and showing it to you, but I'll just tell you about it. But you can mark it and go to it later if you want to. I've preached on it before. 2 Samuel chapter 10, verse 1 through 6. 2 Samuel 10, 1 through 6, it talks about this. David was trying to send some men to comfort a king in a different area. Was trying to send men to comfort him. And when David sent his men, watch this now, David sent his men to go comfort them. When they got there, one of the king's men said, you know they're not coming here to comfort you. What they're really doing is coming to spy out the land. So when they get here, let's treat them harshly. I believe that's where they cut their beards half and then cut their skirts and all that stuff. And so all this stuff was done to them. Now watch, they went back, David got mad, and David did go to war with them. Now think about that for a minute. David was trying to be a blessing to them. Because they were suspicious, they made something into something that didn't exist. War happened only because there were, now what I'm saying to you is this. Look, if you find that you've got a spirit that you can't trust anybody, and you start thinking everybody's out to get you, everybody's out to do something, everybody's against me, nobody likes me, what you start doing is you start playing in your mind scenarios that aren't even real. And now you're at war with everybody around you, and those people might actually love you very much, but now you are at war with them because something's played in your mind that isn't even real. Where does that come from? For a lot of you that do that, it comes from you've been hurt before and you've never forgiven. And now you've got this thing in you that keeps coming up over and over and over again. And every time you see something happen, you say, yep, that's just like that one guy that did that to me before. And it's not the same thing. But we're playing it that way in our mind. So we've got to understand that. Now, the last one on this part is, it opens the door for the devil, discouragement and despair. We distance from each other in divorce. We have distrust. But then the Bible says we defile many. Watch. In Hebrews 12:15. It says, look diligently lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Remember what in Ephesians chapter 4, what it said? It said it went into bitterness and evil speaking and malice and all those things, that unforgiveness led to that. All right, so here this says, a root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby defile many. Watch now, I want you to get it. When you won't forgive something happens in you and it troubles you. But it didn't just stay there. Eventually, what that thing does is it bleeds over and it starts defiling many of the people that are around you. So a person hurt me. All men are terrible. Marriage is bad. Church is bad. It troubles you, but watch, it never stays with you because eventually you start saying stuff in front of your spouse and in front of your children that people are bad, church people are bad, church is bad, God's bad, and it doesn't just defile you, it starts defiling them. Because I don't know anybody that's ever gotten bitter and mad against people, against church, against God, that ever was bitter and kept their mouth shut. All of them that get bitter and upset, they all voice to people how mad they are at the things of God, the people of God, at their spouse, at whatever. They always have to voice it. And so they don't just trouble themselves, they defile many around them. It's the root of bitterness that pops up. And so it causes a problem. And it goes in that progression we were just talking about. It's anger turns into bitterness. And you've heard the statement before, hurting people do what? Hurt people. When you're hurting, you end up hurting other people because you're hurting. That's what I'm saying. You're going to have to get to the place that you get away from this type of situation. So what do we do? What do we do? Last place in Scripture, turn to Matthew chapter number 18. What do we do? What do we do? How do we fix this? How am I going to get through this? So you got the forgiveness problem. The unforgiveness progression, what it turns into, and then the forgiveness process. How do I forgive? What do I do to forgive? Matthew 18 from 15 down to verse number 20 is what I told you a while ago about going to someone and dealing with them. Turn this off and just turn that on, so because this is starting to do its thing again. So just turn this off and just turn that one. There you go. I'll stay right here by this. What I told you before, but now look down at verse number 21, so we'll keep going there. And watch what is said, verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? And Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. Now watch what happens. I want you to get this. When he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children, and all that he had in payment to be made. Boy, it's a severe thing going to happen to this guy. And the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Same thing he said. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. It goes on with the rest of the story, and I won't go through all of that, but I do want you to get this next little section of stuff. Write these down. This is the process for how you're going to get to the place of forgiveness. This is how you'll do it. Number one, he told Peter right there in verse 21 and 22, and I want you to get it. Jonathan said it this morning in Sunday school. It is a command of God. Realize that forgiveness is a command from God. You have to forgive. You have to forgive. In Ephesians 4:32, it says, and be ye kind one another, tenderhearted, forgiving. He's telling you, you must be this. Be a person that forgives. You must forgive. In Colossians 3:12, it says, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man hath any quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. You got to forgive. It is a command. You got to realize it is a command that you have to forgive. He says in Colossians 3, forbear. Now watch now. This is a difference. Forbear and forgive. Forbear means to restrain yourself from reacting and to show patience. Forgive means to treat the offender as not guilty. Now, sometimes it's easy to forbear when it's a small thing. But when it becomes a big thing, you know what you have to do? You got to forgive. You have to forgive. So, number one, this is what you do. This is the recipe. This is how you get it. Number one is you need to realize it is a command. Number two, if you want to be able to forgive and get out of this thing the devil's trying to do, number one, realize the command. Two, remember how much you have been forgiven. Remember, that's what that song she said a while ago, that it was my sin that nailed him to the cross. Say, but you don't know what that person did to me. I know, and I'm sure it was bad. But let me tell you what, it cannot be, if you're alive, it cannot be any worse than what your and my sin did to Jesus Christ. Because it sent him to the cross to die, to be punished and die for our sins. So that's why when those verses say, if any man have quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. You have to realize, you know what? Christ forgave me all my sins, past, present, and future. And let me think about this. Not only did he forgive my past sins, but after I've gotten saved, he's ready to forgive me of present sins. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just, forgive us sin, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He forgave, watch now, he forgave us even with the thought that we are going to sin again in the future. And he still forgave. So, number one is realize his command. Number two, remember how much you have been forgiven. Remember how much you've been forgiven. In the story we just read here, this man forgot just how much he had been forgiven. And listen, he had been forgiven way more than he was holding this other guy accountable for. Now think about that. So you get mad, there's people that should be here today, and they are mad about a little thing. And when they stack the little thing that they are now mad at God, mad at God's people, mad at Christianity, mad at everything, when you stack that little thing against the big thing that they did that sent Christ to the cross, we should, in light of that, forgive the little things people have done to us. And so, realize its command. Number two, remember how much you have been forgiven. He said about him, remember the great compassion that you have been shown. He said he had compassion on him and forgave him. Remember how much you've been forgiven. Number three, look at verse number 27 of Matthew 18. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. Number one, realize its command. Number two, remember how much you've been forgiven. Number three, release the offender. The person that's done this, release the offender. You know what? What are you saying? What do you mean? I mean, make a choice that you are no longer in your heart trying to hold them accountable for what they've done. Amen. You're just releasing it. I'm not gonna have this anymore. Watch, I want you to get this. What some of us are doing in our life is we've got that person that's offended us by the throat. That's what he said he did with him. He grabbed him by the throat and was choking him, saying, "You've got to give me all that you owe." That's what he was doing. He grabbed him by the throat. "You've got to give me all that you owe." When the one above him said, "I forgive you all out of compassion and love." You know what some of us have done? We've got that person that hurt us. Now listen, I'm with you. I can feel the pain. I might even feel like grabbing them and joining in and grabbing them by the throat with you. What I'm saying is we're grabbing by the throat forever, just holding them. And we got to think about just what all God has done for us. And now he has loosed us completely from it. And now the person that has done this to us, you say, if they repent, I agree with you, but what I am saying to you is, in your own heart, just release them anyway. Just release it so that you can move on with your life. Release from the need to get even, to hurt them. Let me tell you this, release yourself from the need to understand why they did what they did, because you may never know why they did what they did. So release yourself from that. And that's why in Luke chapter 17, he said, "Can you increase our faith? Because it's going to take faith to get through that." To asking God, if you never understand it, to asking God, increase our faith. Just like Jesus prayed on the cross, "Father, forgive them." It's a prayer. So, realize its command. Remember how much you've been forgiven. Release the offender. And then, number four is this one. Watch. Recognize that justice is God's business. Amen. Justice is God's business. You know, when we talked about 1 Peter chapter 2, the last several verses, talks about Jesus when he was reviled not again. When they, all the stuff they did to him, he didn't retaliate. Remember, it talks about that. But it says he did this. He commended himself to the to he that judges righteously. He just gave it to God, said, God, take care of it. And that's what you're going to have to do in life. In Romans 12, 19, read it this morning. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. In Proverbs 24, 29, it says, say not, I will do so to him as he hath done to me. That's what most of us say. I will do so to him as he hath done to me. It says, say not, I will do so to him as he hath done to me. I will render to the man according to his works. Don't say that. Don't act that way. Don't have that kind of spirit in your heart. Give it to the Lord. I said this morning, the Lord can do a much better job of correcting it than you can. So give it to him. And here's the last thing. I want you to get this one. I thought about this morning when Miss Ashley gave her testimony. The last thing you can do to really get through this is this. Regain victory by using your experience to help others. Regain victory. Watch now. Regain victory. That's mine crying back there. That's good. All right. Regain victory. Regain victory. Keep going. She's amen to me. Regain victory by using your experience to help others. Now, when she said this morning, when Miss Ashley used her story, you know what? That was a tough story she told about what has happened to her that she had to go through. And she told it, and she went through it. And some other people shared some other stuff that they've gone through. And you know what? That's a hard thing to do. But watch now. I was sitting out of the circle. I wasn't in the circle. I was sitting outside the circle. And I was watching while Ashley was talking about being mistreated by some man at some point in her life. I watched other people in the room kind of dip their head. And I thought, I bet you somebody else in this room has experienced something, if not the exact same, something very close. And what she just did, they might be sitting in that circle going, I don't know how I'm ever going to, I can relate to this. I don't know how I'm ever going to get through it. And then they heard her say that through that terrible thing, God got her into church, where in church she met her husband. And through all that, she learned how to get through it, through the Wounded Spirits program, to get through some of the things that she did. And that person that was sitting in the room that heard that story, you know what they would have said? I can do that too. If she can do that, I can do that. And you know what you end up doing? That thing that person hurt you with all that time ago, now you're not letting them hurt you anymore. Now you're using that pain and that experience to now get victory in helping somebody else that's going through something just like it. And the verse for that is my favorite verse, 2 Corinthians 1:4. It says, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So as you go through something and you're dealing with this, you're thinking, how am I ever going to get through it? You need to learn to forgive. Just release it. Now, let me tell you something. When you say, well, I'm saying that what they did was right. No, you're not. In that story we just read in Matthew chapter 18, that guy did not say, you owe me all this, and I'm releasing you. He's not saying, it was a problem on my part, you were actually right. He didn't say that. The guy was wrong. So you're not saying, when you say, well, I'm going to forgive them, you're not saying that what they did was right, because it wasn't right. You're not saying that. And let me tell you something else. It didn't say in this that you've got to rebuild the relationship with them. Somebody said to me that, I think it was Paul, was saying to me that sometimes we get the wrong impression about forgiveness, that if your employee steals all your money and then comes back and says, I'm sorry, that you then have to hire him back and make him your treasurer. You wouldn't do that. Forgiveness is different than trust. You may have broken trust. It may take a while to get trust back up to going, but you still need to forgive. You need to forgive. What you don't see in the story, watch now, I want you to get it. What you don't see in the story is you don't see the guy saying, I'm sorry, I repent. You don't see the guy saying, well, I forgive you all that, and let me re-give you some more money. You don't see that. So somebody says, well, a family member of mine hurt me and hurt my kids. Maybe my uncle did something to me whenever I was a kid, and I've never gotten past that. What I'm saying to you is, regardless if they ever apologize for it, you need to let it go in your heart. But it doesn't mean that next Thanksgiving, you need to send your kids over to their house to have Thanksgiving with them.
a guy assaults a lady, it doesn't mean that's because you've forgiven. It doesn't mean that you move next door to them and you start having, a relationship where they come over and hang out at the house. It doesn't mean that. That's what people sometimes say. You didn't really forgive unless you're ready to invite them back into your house. Listen, if somebody does something, wicked to your family, you can forgive, but it doesn't mean you have to then bring them into your home and let them do that again. Trust takes a while to build back up again. But you need to get to the part you forgive, though. You do need to get to the point where you forgive, and then use whatever it is to be a help to somebody else. Because I guarantee you, what you've gone through, and when you get through it, you will find that God will put you around somebody else that's having to go through the exact same thing you've gone through. God has a way of doing that. And then what you'll do is you'll be able to tell them how God got you through it and how you were able to forgive and get past it. And so now they can do the exact same thing. Whether it's a marriage, whether it's been hurt, personally, something in your life, if it's something small, if it's something big, whatever it is, that you can get past it. And you're going to have to learn how to do that. And I'm telling you, God can help you do it. And when you don't do it, you're opening a door for the devil to cause problems within your life, within your heart, within your home. Let's stand. If you've got some of this in your life, what I would say to you today, you say, what would I do right now? The first thing I would do is I would go to the Lord and say, Lord, increase my faith. Help me. Help me to get through this thing that I'm going through. And then help me to release them from what I'm going through. That may be the first step you need to do starting right now. Lord God, Father, we love you. We ask you to please bless in the hearts of these people. Lord, I know that some of them are carrying huge burdens. And so, Father, I pray that you'd please help them. You said we can cast our cares upon you because you care for us. Lord, there's people right now that are thinking, but when are they ever going to get justice? When are they ever going to get justice? Well, I'm reminded of a verse, and I think it's 1 Timothy 5, that says some men's sins go before and some after. Some before to judgment and some after. Lord, some people, their sins are going to be revealed and dealt with right here, and some of them think they've got away with it, and they'll be held accountable one day. Lord, I pray that you'd help those that have been hurt in here today to release this thing and give it to you and let you deal with it, whether it's now or whether it's later. And help them release it from in their heart, having to know when it takes place, just getting past it. Father, I pray you'd help us to link together and be able to lean on each other and help each other through the difficult things that we're going through in life. Father, bless now. Help in all these ways the devil has been trying to get in. Help to work those things out even right now in the lives of these people. Father, we love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. She's going to play. Why don't you come pray tonight?